Social reunion. Hello, y'all. I was selling crack on a private jet up in the hell and back. But no confusion, this a reunion. Hello, y'all. Welcome back. Get murder here. He counting money. He said, can man, the hell with rap. I'm only here to shit on niggas and piss on bitches. Welcome, ass. I bought jewelry and bikes, nigga. Black Benzes and white Vickers. Now I'm out here and I'm looking for more chandeliers and light fixtures. Nah. I don't like niggas, what's wrong with me? I'm a high nigga, but this 44 turn a Michael Jordan, I look and say, take flight, nigga.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, a.k.a. Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Stat Murder, what up? What's good, man? It's
chilling, man. How you doing? This is a wild weekend,
it
man.
It really was, man. It's been crazy the last stuff. But what my nigga Sensei, the retrograde. I don't even know. Sensei, yo, Cam, it's some retrograde. Shut up, Sin. I don't care about the retrograde, all right? I don't care. Shit was just wild. Why can't just be a wild weekend? It got to be some molecules and stones and all the retrograde, he said. All right, bro. I just thought it was
what's
a wild
retrograde?
Weekend. It's some shit that he says where be careful because the moon and alignment make everybody act crazy. Yeah. They make you go crazy. You know what the retrograde
is? Yeah, when Mercury's in retrograde, you explained it correctly. When Mercury's in retrograde, like, yeah, things that are usually normal are like the complete opposite, like it's swapped. So if you feel like things have been happening real weird lately, that's when people say Mercury's in retrograde. So.
So how was your weekend?
My weekend was great. It was crazy, you know, not involving me. So I had a great weekend, but yeah, how was y'all's? Or what do you think was the craziest since we're talking about it?
Oh man, I think that battle was crazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was crazy. Definitely. You know what I realize about shit is that niggas is so hot that like niggas, whatever niggas say about the battle, niggas care what we say about the battle. Like, nigga, I'm going to say what I want to say about the battle. But niggas talk up to me, maybe it's just because I see all the ads that I see because niggas tag me. I can't say the hundreds of millions or however many people are listening. Y'all niggas be tagging me like I'm in the battle.
Yeah.
Yes, I be finding that hilarious. Like, I'm not even in the battle. Nigga like, be getting mad at me.
Did you see this?
Yeah. But you got to say about this now.
And you know, in a battle, it's like a fight. You could be winning one round and then the next round, lose that round.
Yeah, that's a fact. We didn't put money up at the beginning of the battle.
Yeah, our goal is just to call it honestly.
Yeah. She was at the house with me because the other day when shit was dropping back to back, me and she was in there like, yo, shit getting a little wild, man. It was getting crazy, man. It was a good weekend, though. Besides that, my show got canceled. Nigga said it was a windstorm. I'm mad about that because I would have went to the Kentucky. I was invited to the Kentucky Derby, but I couldn't go to the Kentucky Derby because I had a show, and the show got canceled, so I missed Kentucky Derby. Shout out to UTA and getting us the tickets and everything. I really wish I would have went. That's like, and I ain't going to say it's bucket list shit, but it's shit that I've never been to that I want to be like, yeah, I did that already. Man, I missed that.
Yeah, that would have been super dope.
And so who you think won?
The battle?
Yeah.
Right now, man, I'm going to be honest. Kendrick, I don't like what Drake dropped last night because it wasn't bad, but I don't like the way it ended. He seemed like this the last one I'm doing. Like, you can't end it when you just want to end it. You know, he's like, yo, man, it's all, I'm tired of doing this, that, and the third. And I just think that you shouldn't have ended it like that. You just got to keep going. That's just my opinion right now. I'm not saying Drake ain't my bro or nothing, but I don't like the way he ended it, if that's the end for him, me personally. So I'm going to go with Kendrick right now.
Yeah, I'm going with Kendrick as well. It seemed like whatever he started out doing, he picked up the speed, pause, and really did what he was supposed to do. I thought the record that he did, the last one that he did, was the one I thought he should have done a little bit earlier, but you know.
Meet the Grams or the other one?
The Meet the Grams, I would have started with Meet the Grams and then I would have went into, you know, not like that. Oh, what's the name of the record?
exact name.
Not like us.
Not like us. Yeah.
That was crazy. When I heard that, I was like, oh yeah. It's gonna be tough.
Hey, yo, Larry. So you just walked in with a girl, please. This ain't the motherfucking hangout. Who just came in, yo? Oh, Craze, my bad, Craze, my fault. All right, well, we good.
Yeah, so when he dropped the second record, the last record, not second, that Not Like Us, that was the one I was expecting.
Yeah, look, that Back to Back was good. The Meet the Grams, I thought it was good, but I just thought the one Drake dropped before that. See, what happened was this, then we went out.
Yeah.
What was Drake one before that?
Push-ups?
No, not after Push-ups.
Family Matters?
They played that in the club. Mm. And Meet the Grams, you couldn't really play in the club. So when niggas went out that night, they played Family Matters like 10 times back to back in the club. So when Kendrick came with an upbeat one, they played that in the club like 10 times in a row. And the one Drake just dropped, it was kind of slow. It seemed like he don't want to do it no more. Pause. And I just don't like the way it ended, but. Like you said, Murda, we'll see. To be continued, but it don't seem like Drake won a battle no more.
I still feel like this might only be the beginning, but let's start with Pat Bev. So he is banned from future ESPN appearances and shows after he dismissed a female reporter trying to interview him after she said that she wasn't subscribed to his podcast. So first, after seeing the video, how do you guys feel about the way that Pat Bev handled the situation and dismissed her off?
I mean, he does have the right, but he don't have the right as an NBA player. He has the right as a media personnel to say, if you're not supporting mine, I'm not going to support yours. But once he's playing in the NBA, he doesn't have that right because they have to do those interviews after the game. So once he did that, I guess that put him in a very weird place. Because even if ESPN doesn't ban him, then the NBA is going to fine him greatly for that. Because that's how they make their money, and they got partners with these people. So after the games, that's part of their other bag is the interviews and things like that with their other partners. Well, what do you think?
Hello? As far as Pat Bev,
yeah.
Look, you can't be bigger than the system, yo. That's just the moral of the story, yo. You're not bigger than the system. We have a great show here. We've been very blessed to do this. And thank you to the countless amount of people who supported us, whether it's down to Kevin Garnett, down to Stephen A. Smith, down to Gilbert Arenas, down to Steve Stout, all these people who called and gave us a lot of recognition and praise. And I'm just naming people off the top of my head. It's dozens and dozens of people who gave us love. But we're never thinking that we're bigger than the system. And when I say bigger than the system, I'm talking about to go shit on people who've been doing this before we've done it. Now, we may make clown and make jokes and say, nah, we ain't fucking with niggas, or we ain't this niggas, or we ain't acting like them, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's not bigger than, we're not bigger than the system. The thing about it is, we could always say, man, fuck niggas, or we ain't doing shit like them, or fuck these niggas, but we not in a system.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverly has a podcast, which is his podcast, but you're being interviewed as part of a system, which is called the NBA, which the NBA has sold his rights to Disney and TNT and whoever else they have deals with, for them to get NBA content. And once you're in that system, you have to comply for being in that system. Now, I get what Pat Bev is trying to say, yo, you ain't fuck with me, I ain't fuck with you. It's not about a pod, you just finished the game. So I don't know if he was mad or upset, because not only that, I seen him throw a basketball at a fan in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, that
He threw the ball pause two times.
Yeah, and it was like, bro, you can't be that mad. And then don't expect repercussion. Now, you want to join this with it? There ain't a lot of repercussion up here. I'm being nice about what I'm saying. We really don't care like that. You know what I'm saying? We really don't really be giving a fuck. But when you're in a system, you can't really buck the system like that because it's billions of dollars at stake. Now, look, so it's and one reason I'm saying this is because it's a lot of greasy, poor shit that go on that people don't know about. You sit here and say, fuck these niggas, fuck these niggas. These, they relationships with different people. I have you out. So you got a podcast.
Yeah, you're not one of them niggas.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, if you got a podcast, right, and it's through, I'm just saying Barstool. I'm just using an example. Yeah. I think it's through Barstool. And the head of Barstool is cool. It's all a fake scenario I'm making up. It's not a real scenario. And the head of Barstool is cool with the boss of ESPN. And they have a relation. They're like,
yeah.
Yo, dead it.
You know, no more.
No
ever.
More. No more of that. And then you got to realize this game's beyond the game. And sometimes you're never going to know where the top of the game is because you're never going to make it there in this lifetime. You just wasn't blessed to get there. Not saying we are going to get there too, but sometimes it's games beyond the games beyond the games. It's like, what's the shit we talking about? Better Dollar, Mortimer.
Yeah.
And when Randolph and... And Mortimer, you know what I'm saying?
And that was a nigga life.
And they playing with niggas' lives for a dollar. So I just wanted to say all that to say I don't think Pat Bev should have did that. Was it warranted? Yeah, they did to get an interview after the game. So I don't know if it should have been to the extent that he never could be a part of ESPN again. But you're a journeyman. It's the truth. I'm not dissing.
What's a journeyman, killer?
A journeyman is somebody who doesn't stay on the team long, but they're still good enough to play on the team. You'll fit in poor somewhere. We'll figure it out. A journeyman has played on at least three teams. Would you consider that a journeyman?
When they four be like, teams, yeah.
Yeah, like, yo, you're
he's journeyman. Definitely a journeyman.
Yeah, yes, you're a journeyman. You make impact where you go significantly, not on insignificantly, depending on the situation. But when you're a journeyman, you got to watch your tone sometimes. You know what I'm saying? For instance, I give you an example, right? Let's say...
you played on four teams, you're a journeyman?
I say three, four. And not played on four, traded.
Traded.
Yeah.
Keyword.
So,
I was about to say. Yeah,
no, not by choice. get out of here. I'm not going to say if you play because you could go where you want to go.
Take this nigga.
Yeah, if you get traded in the middle of the night, that's on you. But that's what I consider a journeyman if you get traded three, four teams or even more than that.
Got it. And then I know, Cam, you explained that you don't know if it should have went as far as the extent of having him not have any more ESPN appearances. Do you agree or do you think that's valid? I'm just curious.
I mean, they gave him back the same Paul Smoke that he was trying to give them. You're not going to do my podcast. I'm not going to speak to you. Right? So then they just returned the smoke. Pause. They say, you know what? Okay, so you're not going to do the interview? Heard you. You're never going on here again.
And that goes to the point to where I was talking about journeyman. That's what I was going to get to. I lost my train of thought for a second because you asked me a question. But when you nice, let's say LeBron was mad and he did that. If write a statement,
it's over.
And it's over. Does it happen when you're a superstar?
Yeah, you can't show off when niggas don't really need you. That's a rule. Don't ever show off if niggas don't need you.
Lesson.
But sometimes niggas be thinking niggas need them. Pause.
That's the harsh reality. He's gonna find out.
Yeah.
He gonna find out.
Yeah. So far, ESPN started it. We'll see what happens.
Facts. Lessons learned. Okay, and then the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets in game one, 106-99. Was this a game you were expecting the Timberwolves to win? And then should Denver start being more worried? How do you think that this is going to go?
Are you asking me, is Title Town on the move?
I guess.
Might be on the move, killer. Title Town might be on the move. That boy Ant-Man, pause. He out there looking like MJ. I said it earlier. Ant-Man, you can make all checks payable to Mace because I'm the one pushing this narrative. Ant-Man's looking like Jordan out there. I think if it happens one more time, I'm going to go on the record and say he might be the next Jordan, for real. I just want to be the first one to let niggas know. That's how he's playing. He's playing like there's nobody that can really guard him. And to get 43 against the defending champ says a lot, you know? Because it's not like he's playing against niggas that ain't playing for everything. And pause. When they won, I was the only thing I was thinking, if they beat them 4-1, it's going to be crazy. But I'm just putting that out there, Stack, because you know I always be right. So if they beat them 4-1, I don't want to hear nothing. I said it, Underdog Fantasy, Cold Cam. It's on you, killer.
Yeah, when I watch this game, I'm gonna make a decision on the series after I see the second game, but Denver looked really small for us. Yeah. Usually Denver with the Joker looks like they're the biggest team on the court, and the Joker looked really, really small for us. Like when he stood next to Rudy Gobert, you seen the 2-3 inch difference. I'm not sure. But he looked really small. The lobs Joker usually does wasn't working. Rudy Gobert made it really, really uncomfortable for the Joker. I mean, he still had 32, but this is the first time I seen in a long time he didn't shoot 50% from the field. Aaron Gordon, he's the only starter that shot over 50%. Caldwell Pope shot 50%, but only shot 4 shots, 2 for 4. Murray had a terrible first half. He shot less than 50%, and it looked like Minnesota really wanted this game. And I started looking at this position pause for position. And I said, Jamal Murray, I'm going to give him an advantage over Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, everything you said about him was absolutely correct. So we're going to give Anthony Edwards, we're going to give him the credit for the two guard. So for Minnesota, but then, three guard I'll give to Minnesota, Michael Porter. But when it came to absolutely Denver, the three guard position. But the 4 and 5, and I'm not sitting there saying Rudy Gobert is anything like the Joker, but he's causing and disrupting what he usually does. And I'm going to say Aaron Gordon looked like Karl Anthony Towns was giving him problems at the 4 position. So I remember them assembling this team and getting Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, and I was like, league ain't even going there no more a couple years. Like, I'm like, niggas shooting threes and shit, but you need both these niggas.
Yeah, now we was able to see why.
Whoever that GM was, I don't know y'all GM off the top of his head, but he must have seen this pause coming because it looked definitely like Denver wanted it more. They look like there's the bigger team. They look like the best player on the floor played for them. And I'm waiting for game 2 to see how this goes, because if we're going according to game 1, it don't look good, and let's get it right.
Yeah.
Denver was home. They was home. And not only that, this is where Jeff Green is missing, this is where Bruce Brown is missing, and this is where Minnesota has the sixth man of the year. So their bench looks like it may be a little stronger than Denver's bench. Denver, beware. You're on the clock. Next game, I'm going to make a decision on the series. I don't want to throw y'all under the bus just yet. But Mace may be totally correct, because if we're going off what we seen in the first game, cool, this is really on you also, Mike Maloney, the adjustments that need to be made, the mistakes to happen. So I didn't see the Joker. I haven't seen the Joker look that uncomfortable in 2-3 years.
Yeah, because they're changing our shots. Even though Gobert only had 3 blocks, those are just the 3 blocks he got. But everything else is like he's changing people's shot, making them do new moves. And I'm thinking, if they get this game again on the second game and they win this game, is their confidence is going to be through the roof. I wouldn't see them returning from that, because the best player on the court is actually on the opposite team. Ant-Man is the best player in the playoffs right now.
I'm not going to say that. It's a bunch of players playing good. He played absolutely out his mind. But I'm not going to base the one game that he did. But you're absolutely right, Mace. He arguably could be the best player in the playoffs. I'm not willing to say that yet.
Only other person is Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson looks great too, but the Joker, did you see what Joker's averaging in the playoffs? Like, we're so used to what the Joker is doing because he's been doing it so long, but he's averaging like 33 points, like 12 rebounds. He's averaging almost a, he's like 0.2 away from averaging a triple-double. It's just that that's what we're used to seeing. So we're like, it's something new with Ant-Man. It's something new with Jalen Brunson. I totally agree. And I'm not saying that they may not be the best player in the playoffs so far, but we're just so used to seeing a Joker do this for the last 2, 3, maybe 4 years that we're ignoring his stats. So I would definitely say those are the top three. But I'm not here to argue with your point with Ant-Man at all because he's looking sensational.
Oh, yeah. I'm a new expert, so I'm going for the new niggas. Pause. You know, every time a new nigga gets some points, the young niggas say, he the GOAT.
Yeah, the new hotness. The new hotness.
Okay. So after this game and looking ahead to game two, Jokic said that the Nuggets may need two of him to counter the trio of Gobert, Kat, and Naz Reid in game two. So hearing him say that at the post-game presser, how do you feel about hearing Jokic say that himself, that he would need basically a clone of himself?
Yeah, that's the acknowledgement of what Killer was just saying. And when you got pause, that kind of big man in the front court, and you got somebody coming off the bench that could do the same things that the people are doing on the team, it just makes it a tremendously hard feat to go against three people. It would be one thing if he was going against Anthony Towns, but now he's going against, after he spin off Towns, he run right into Gobert. And then after they get tired, then Naz Reid comes in and he gets the best game of his life, you know, then it becomes a real uphill battle because Denver has been banking on Joker being a bully through the Western Conference. So now it seemed like Killer said, the GM sat there and said, well, there's nobody out there to go get to stop him. What we're going to do is build a wall. We're going to build a wall around him. So definitely somebody else is going to have to beat us because he's not going to be able to beat us by himself.
I wouldn't have said that out loud. I wouldn't have said it because it's causing doubt. And you sit there and put that in the air, that's already kind of admission that we can't do this without two of me. Like, I would not have said that. Even if it's true, I would have saved that for a conversation with the coach or maybe the players, because it's not two of them. And it's not going to be two of them for us through the playoffs. So why even say that out loud? To me, that's that. This don't look good because I need somebody else. Pause. Aaron Gordon ain't going to cut it with size.
Nope.
When it comes to Cat. See, Aaron Gordon was looking really, really good against the Lakers. LeBron was bullying everybody outside of Aaron Gordon. And Aaron Gordon, I'm not saying he was having his way with LeBron, but it was moments where he was getting past LeBron or LeBron might be caught slipping on defense. So it was moments where he was looking pretty good against LeBron. These niggas, Minnesota, hit their stride at the right time. Karl Anthony Towns was hurt. Mm-hmm. He stayed out till he came back to be 100%, and he looks very, very healthy. Everybody on their team looks healthy. It don't look like nobody's wobbling around. It don't look like nobody has any injury. He looks very, very healthy. I'm talking about the whole Minnesota team. The only person that looks hurt on Minnesota is the coach. Besides that, them niggas is looking good. Pause, man. So I wouldn't have said that out loud if I was the Joker, because that's basically sounding like, damn, if we don't get another big man, this don't look good.
Yeah, and it's too early to be copping out like that. Yeah. That's like hearing Debo say niggas ain't give him a fair one, you know? Pause.
I dig where he's coming from, but I wouldn't have put that in the air because I'm basically kind of throwing Aaron Gordon under the bus because that's your four.
Yeah.
And you're just basically saying we don't have enough height on our team to deal with this.
Right. And then before we move on to the next game, because you did start making the Ant-Man and MJ comparisons, do you feel fully, both of you, do you feel fully comfortable making those comparisons right now? Because I think that's a deeper discussion that a lot of people are talking about.
I can't speak for Cam, but, you know, I know he normally speak for me, but I'm just going with pause. What I see is just like menace to society, and they say, if that's you on the tape, then this is what's happening. I mean, whatever Jordan was doing, that's what Ant-Man is doing right now. He's dunking on niggas. He's he's having his way. Like when young niggas say they're having their way, he's definitely having his way. There's nobody that could stop him on in the West Coast at the two guard. Just think of right there. There's nobody in the Western Conference that could stop him at two guard. He's out there pause playing by himself, realistically, because at any point he could get any shot he want. And if his jump shot is clicking, he's just like Jordan out there. They don't want to hear that yet, but it's a new day.
Yeah, niggas don't like that yet. I was talking about that, and niggas is like, we're going too far. It's different comparisons. There's ways to look at this. I think he's looking like Michael Jordan as far as if you had to put a silhouette around Michael Jordan and him. And the shit that he's doing, shooting the mid-range game, open threes he's knocking down, coming through dunking on people like Michael Jordan. Absolutely getting the numbers that he's getting. He has three consecutive games of 35 and more in the playoffs. And the only other people 22 and under to do it is LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, and I forget who the other person was, but that's good
company.
Yeah,
so that is saying that.
But the reason I'm saying about Michael Jordan and just not jumping the gun and putting him there, but I like his attitude too. He, you know what they told him? You know, he was talking to Steve Kerr because he's going to be on the Olympic team. And he was telling Steve Kerr, I should be starting. I don't really get why I'm not starting.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr was like, you know, when you're a part of the Olympic team, everybody's a superstar. Even people have to come off the bench. We got people like Kobe Bryant. He said, well, I don't see a Kobe on our team. So I don't get what you, why would you tell me that? That's the attitude I like. I like that. Like, and it ain't a Kobe out there. So what the fuck would you be telling me about a Kobe Bryant for? So I like his attitude. The only thing I'm going to say about the Jordan thing, and I'm not saying he can't be there, but it's a long way to go. Absolutely a long way to go. But if you accomplish something great at 22 years old, which Michael Jordan didn't, I think that's, right now, put it like this, man. They looking like the best team in the West after the first game.
Mm-hmm.
We got till next game for I'll make a decision on the series. And then, of course, we got to sit there and see what happens with Dallas and OKC. But it's looking like that. But my problem with making a comparison to Jordan just yet, and not on Ant-Man's behalf or Jordan's behalf, is that Jordan played when it wasn't a one and done. When you couldn't just go to school 1 year and leave. Even when he left as a junior, and everybody was like, yo, he's leaving early, even though, you know, that's when you had to go to school 4 years. So imagine Michael Jordan getting into the league when he was 19 years old and the accomplishments he might have made from the time he was 19 or 18 to 22 years old. So Michael Jordan is already down 3 or 4 years of being a professional to where Ant-Man's in an era to where it's one and done. So he's being celebrated at 22 to where Michael Jordan was 21, 22 when he first came in the league. So I don't think that's fair at all because Michael Jordan might have been crazy at 22 if he came into the league a couple years earlier. We don't know.
Yeah, that's a good argument, but there's a lot of niggas coming at 19 and stink it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But you got a lot of superstars too that came in from high school. A lot of people. You got Tracy T-Mac, you got Kobe Bryant, you got Kevin Garnett. It's a lot of super, not just regular stars, superstars that came and did well. There was certain players to where David Stern felt like you said, Murder, they came in from high school and started stinking it up. And he's like, nah,
we ain't
done
this. No,
you're watering down the league.
Yeah,
we can't have this anymore. So, yeah, I think if Michael Jordan would have came in early, and not saying he was even ready, it's all what-if scenarios.
Yeah.
But that wasn't available to players back when Michael Jordan was in college.
Okay, and then the Magic has been eliminated from the playoffs after a Game 7 defeat by the Cavs, 106-94, your sleeper team. The Cavs will go on to play the Celtics. So thoughts on that game, the way the Magic went out, and then how do you guys feel about the Cavs' next challenge against the Celtics?
That's a lot. The Cavs is such a blue-collar team. I feel like they could stay in this series with them, especially with the way that Holiday is playing right now and Porzingis being out. I don't think it's that much of a mismatch like it was early in the season when you're thinking this team would be loaded with all of these players. And now not having Porzingis and the way, like I said, Holiday is not playing as well as I thought he would be. And it seemed like White is the man on the perimeter, pause. For the last couple of games, Derek White, and he's out of a D3 or D2? He's been playing exceptionally well. So I don't think Donovan Mitchell is going to let him do that to him. So this is going to be a real good series, I think. I could see it going about 6 or 7. But I think Celtics should win it. But who knows, you know? Light-skinned niggas had a bad week last week. So unless they come back, you know, light-skinned niggas had a bad week. It's been a bad week for light-skinned niggas. I don't know. It's going back dark-skinned.
I'm Boston's winning this series. These niggas just played 7 games. I don't even see it going 6 or 7 games, but maybe 5, if that. Especially if Porzingis is healthy. Derek White has just stepped all the way the fuck up since he cut that. You know, he had a big-ass forehead poise. He cut his hair off.
He cut his afro off.
That nigga been going wild. So I don't really see this going long. And not only that, Boston's been home resting, getting some good rest. I never want to put a Donovan Mitchell team in a bad situation, but this is a bad situation.
Yeah.
I'll say 6 if somebody gets hurt, but I don't see this going past 5 games whatsoever. So I see Boston in 5. As far as the game last night, I was asleep. I didn't watch it. I didn't really care.
Donovan was going crazy.
I heard it was a close game and they pulled away at the end. He had 39, but Barrichello had 38. Heard it was a good game. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch it. Didn't care to.
Okay. Well, also to Sen's point, if things are in retrograde, everything has just been all over the place. So at this point, I can't even make a prediction on to what's going to happen next because we're surprised every single day. All right, y'all. So we're going to go to break. When we return, we will discuss the Mavs versus the Clippers. Don't go anywhere.
She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall, oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about
she wanna be free.
Why am I in this woman?
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy Picks of the Day. Tonight, the Pacers will play the Knicks. So just so y'all know, y'all have the same record at 9-6. So we're keeping count of what you guys choose. Underdog Fantasy has Tyrese Halliburton at 4.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Yeah, he go to tiebreaker. Higher.
Yeah, I'm going higher.
Okay. Jalen Brunson's at 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Points and assists?
Mm-hmm.
Higher.
Okay, and Josh Hart is at 12.5 rebounds. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Lower.
Lower, higher.
Okay, that might be the one to change the stat. Ooh. We'll see.
You said Josh Hart? Said,
yeah.
That nigga had more than 12.
I got 17 rebounds the other night, man.
You're right.
You sticking to your answer?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. So let's talk about a previous game. The Mavs eliminated the Clippers 114-101 in game 6. Just in general, this game had a lot of discussion, but all the stuff going on social media, people weren't talking about it as much as they should have. What do you guys think about that game?
Well, I mean, it played out exactly like I said it would. Kyrie might have the new move. The replace Iverson when he stepped over Ty Lue. You saw the moves that he put on. I forgot the dude's name.
DJ Tucker.
DJ Tucker, yeah, that's my guy from Philly. But Kyrie put them in the blender, hit the three. I was like, oh my goodness, they're out of here. And Paul George, I got to give you a call, Paul. Come on, man. You can't have us up here saying you're the GOAT and y'all go out like this. This is not GOAT behavior. And Kawhi, I don't know what they're going to do with Kawhi and what else. James Harden, I told you this as well, right? I told you he fades in the playoffs. Killer said no. He normally does that in the Western Conference Finals. Well, this is not the Western Conference Final, and they didn't get it done. And I said this would come back to be a problem for Westbrook, and everything I said about this Clippers team. Y'all made the man change the logo. He, like Killer said on a break, he got y'all a stadium. This is not how you repair nigga kindness. This is definitely a come on my nigga moment. We need this back. Y'all niggas, this is definitely a come on. I changed the logo for y'all niggas. I get y'all niggas y'all own gym, and this is what y'all do. Y'all let Kyrie come in here and do this to y'all niggas, and all of y'all are from LA. This is crazy. And don't try to call this no East West stuff. this is basketball. You know, niggas love to try to make it a East West thing when you got a point.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve Ballmer, the owner, I'd be pissed too, man. Look, you know how many years that niggas been talking about the Clippers got to get out the Lakers arena. You're never going to win anything till you get out the Lakers arena. You go in there, it's a Clippers game. It's the Clippers shit on the floor. But you look up in the banners, it's all Lakers shit. Steve Ballmer said, let's change that. Get y'all your own arena. Changes the logo. There's everything else. And we were saying this early in the year that if the Clippers end up winning, that it's the best basketball players may be from Southern California.
Yeah.
But they didn't win. And I don't know why your name is Playoff P, because you never do anything to get to the championship. James Harden, I can't even really argue with Mace because you faded as well. So I can't even go back and forth with him about that. Russell Westbrook, you can see the frustration on his face. One of the games, I don't know if it was last game, he slung Luka around and wanted to fight a nigga and push the referee off. And this really boils down to, it must be driven by Kawhi Leonard, because if it isn't driven by Kawhi Leonard, the rest of y'all just can't get it done. And I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way. I'm only calling what I see, because when Kawhi Leonard was playing and wasn't injured, y'all actually crept up to the number one seed in the Western Conference where everybody was playing and healthy. So when he's not there, it seemed like y'all can't get it done without him. Will he ever be there? He's, for the last 4 or 5 years, he's been very inconsistent at being available for the playoffs, even let alone being available for the regular season. So as much as I like Kawhi Leonard and I love the way he plays, and look, he got Canada, they only championship ever, played alongside Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, got MVP one of those years. It's been a while. It's been a while, and it's been injury on top of injury, and we haven't seen Kawhi Leonard to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
So I don't think this goes well for the Clippers moving forward. I don't know who you move around. I don't know what you bring in. I don't know what happens. I'm not the GM, and I wouldn't want to be the GM to have to deal with all this. But I did see Paul George post-game, and he was like, yo, you know, the teams that still in it been together for a while, at least 3-4 years, man, and they got chemistry, and we got to get that together. We don't have that. No, man. Kyrie just got with Luka last year.
Yeah.
Yes, they just
dogs.
Yeah,
man.
Yo, bro, it wasn't like they've been together 3-4 years. He said this post game. All the teams left in it, you know, they've been in it 3-4 years. Jalen Prince Brunson just got there 2 years ago, man. Julius Randle ain't even playing. They ain't got the chemistry that they need. You, what are you talking about, bro?
Oh, but them niggas from the East Coast.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, nah, don't use that. Don't use that. Niggas got the chemistry and the camaraderie. Okay.
Nah, Kyrie had 2 blocks. You know how much energy a nigga 6'1" Paul's got to be out there getting blocks on niggas 6'5".
Exactly. I'll give you Boston. I'll give you Denver. And I'll give you OKC. Everybody else just trying to figure it out, man.
Yeah.
Don't talk about everybody left, been together 3, 4, 5 years. Nah, y'all lost. Y'all lost and you don't really know what the future holds. So what you're trying to do is say, don't break us up. Give us some time to stay together because maybe we needed some chemistry and
baby,
get it done.
Oh, baby, give me one more chance and all that.
Exactly. So I didn't like what he said post-game. It sounded like—
they going to break the Jacksons up.
That's what
it
sounded
like. Are
you
over the low management? Now that this has happened, can we be done with low management?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Because it ain't working the last couple of years.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know how— and when we say low management pause, I'm trying to figure out who it works for and who it doesn't. Because obviously it's not working for Kawhi.
Yeah, it only worked that one year.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly why we're still using that, period. I was having this conversation with, who the fuck I was talking to? Of course, I was arguing with Sin. And I was explaining to him how the NBA and players and certain people and not everybody were lobbying to try to move the NBA season to 70 games. Talking about, oh, it's too many games. We're wearing each other out and it's getting too much. And I'm like, look. And niggas always be like, well, back in the day, look, 80s, 90s, in the early 2000s, niggas play 82 games.
Yeah.
And even if they was hurt, they'll play 69, 70, 75 games. We're hurt. And they didn't have half the technology, half the medicine, half the doctors, half the rehabilitation that y'all got accessible to y'all today. This y'all niggas got this accessible to y'all today. Niggas was taking that shot with Corazine, what's that shit?
Cortisone.
And getting the fuck back out there. Y'all niggas got doctors, y'all got x-rays, y'all got all type of shit.
He's got tape, all type of shit.
All type of machines, yo, space shit they take to space. And y'all want to narrow the season down to 70 games? Nah, y'all fucking our entertainment up. I'd be depressed between July and the late August to NFL preseason come on. Yeah. You know what you got to do to find entertainment sports-wise for me? I'm not the biggest baseball fan. I'm going to summer league. I'm looking at WNBA. I'm finding the big three games. Not saying all that isn't entertainment, but I'm just looking forward to what I'm used to growing up. So don't be trying to cut the shit down to 70 games a year when you got all these doctors, medicine, rehabilitation, et cetera. So to answer your question, Mace, I don't know if low management should be taken out or not. I know obviously it's not working for Kawhi, but I'm telling you, these niggas is already trying to fight to keep the seat, to cut the season down to 70 games, and I don't like it.
Who started that, Popovich?
Low management? Pause. Yeah. I think Pop was just doing some sucker shit because that's the year that
Yeah, Ginobili and all of them.
Yeah, and he didn't let them play on Christmas
on
a nationally televised game. And they said reason for... Yo, niggas said, you know how they got the reason why Tim Duncan ain't played, like a hurt knee, back, pensioner, whatever. Niggas put, he's old. Pop don't give a fuck. Nigga said he's old. Nigga said, all right, we fine. You 250,000 yeah, playing games.
Pop was honest, though. Yeah. Pop wasn't playing.
Right.
Okay, and then there were a lot of reports that Russell Westbrook wanted to leave the Clippers. He said, although he is open on sharing his thoughts and ideas, a lot of these reports have been fabricated. So he posted a whole IG story post basically addressing Clippers Nation. And just a quote from it, he said, I felt that I was and remain more willing to take on new roles and make certain sacrifices in hope that it would make our team better. So hypothetically speaking, should Westbrook want to leave the Clippers or remain and help build on what they already got?
Well, this goes actually back to our initial conversation at the top of the year, believing that this was going to be a bad choice because it's something that happens when you take yourself out of the lineup, you take yourself out of the rotation. And then after you're out of that rotation and you're older, it's harder to get back in the rotation because now we've already have developed this team without you in it. So now he's finding himself recognizing that taking a high road didn't work. And now he's trying to figure it out. But I think this team has definitely some holes in it, and to fix it, they're gonna have to. The person I always thought should have made the change was James Harden. I always believe that because the type of player James Harden is, he can get that same number and those same points whether he start or not. But if you start Russell Westbrook, he's gonna play better. Some players are just gonna give you the same thing no matter if they come off the bench or whatever. And somebody like you bugging Mace, you're not gonna start James Harden. It's not that he's not a starter. It's just how we're gonna win. If they was to put more emphasis on the dude, man, pause, play him, and then let James Harden come in and shoot as much as he want, he would still get his 30 and 40. But he would get it in a way that it would help the team and not hurt the team. But, you know, that's just basketball. Just because you're the best player doesn't mean we win with you getting those numbers. And I think that's something a lot of NBA players don't understand.
I don't know where he goes if he doesn't leave. I would say stay there and figure it out because as good as Russell Westbrook is, mm-hmm. Average a triple-double for more than one season. League MVP, definitely going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. In the last 4 years, he played for four teams, and you're becoming a journeyman. It would be terrible for Russell Westbrook to be considered a journeyman. You know, it'd be crazy. You had this long stint with Oklahoma City Thunder. Then you go to Houston. Then you go to the Wizards. Then you go to the Lakers. Now you're with the Clippers. Now if you leave the Clippers, we're going to... No, I don't want that for Russell Westbrook.
That's where he should go back to, though. OKC.
Maybe, but do you want to disrupt that young chemistry right there? You know, you don't want to interrupt what some young niggas got going on. And not saying every team don't need veterans because they do. But, you know, for a long time, that was believed why Carmelo Anthony didn't get a job when he was still trying to get a job. It's because people have so much respect, players that is, mm-hmm. for Carmelo Anthony. Younger players, that is. And they would say, the GMs and coaches would say, damn, we don't want to bring Carmelo here and have him the 10th man on the bench. And these niggas is his idol. And they like, yo, why Melo ain't in it? We're like, we're trying to build something with y'all. And they sitting there gloating over Melo. Yeah. And you don't want, when you got a young core with OKC doing what they're doing now, and Russell Westbrook comes back, and it may disrupt the chemistry. And I don't think Russell Westbrook's that type of person to try to disrupt chemistry. I think his personality, for especially being the person that says, I'm going to come off the bench, speaks against that. But sometimes players are in awe of people they grew up watching to where they can't understand it. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm not saying he should go there either. I really have no idea where he should go. But I know you leave again. I don't want to consider Russell Westbrook in my eyes
a journeyman,
and that's you're on the verge of it. You're on the verge of it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that those are where his better years were at. So when he retired, he definitely should retire at OKC because that's where his story is.
Well, yeah, of course he had his best years there. No disagreement in that. But it's like when Iverson at the end of his career came back to the Sixers, you was like, damn, man, this ain't what we wanted, man. Like, this ain't the Iverson I wanted. No, it's not Bubba Chuck. That's the boy. That's the homie. Love you, bro. But I'm just saying, you got to think he went to Detroit. Then he went, believed to Memphis. Then he wasn't playing for a while. Then the Sixers brought him back. But it wasn't the Iverson that we were used to. Kevin Garnett, leave Minnesota, go to Boston, end up going to Brooklyn, grab some more paper and everything else. Go back to Minnesota the last 2 years. And I get it if that's where you're going to retire, but you're not looking at the Kevin Garnett that we seen the first 10 or how many years he's been there. We're not looking at the Iverson that we seen the first 10 years when he goes back to Sixers that we seen when he first came to the NBA. So if you're doing it as a pity party, sure. But I don't think Russell Westbrook is at the point Iverson or Kevin Garnett was at in their career. I think he has a lot of basketball left to play. It's about what's going to work for him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think he would do well. Him or Chris Paul would do well with the Spurs.
I'm not mad at that either. They need a lot of experience.
Now, if you think of somebody with that kind of experience.
Yeah, and I don't know if they could play together or be good together. But think about that. You got Chris Paul in the backcourt, Russell Westbrook at the two, or by, you know, And with Wimby, I think that it, I'm not saying it's going to make a lot of noise in the West, but they'll win more than 13, 14 games. Yeah. I would say that.
They'll definitely start winning.
Right. Okay, and then the more that we have these discussions, I'm realizing how crazy the weekend was because you guys discuss how Darvin Ham may have to go, and that's exactly what happened. So the Lakers fired Ham and apparently all of his coaching staff. What do you guys think of that decision made?
This just lets us know that people are watching us more than I thought. I thought people was laughing, but it is looking like they might need us to give us a GM job, killer, a consultant or something, because niggas is running with a lot of ideas.
I heard the candidates who gonna be coaching, they need to do something. Be honest with you, but I ain't want to cut you. Finished? Oh, yeah. What I want to say is this: we need to start a petition for Mark Jackson.
Yeah,
we need to look. I'm gonna figure it out tomorrow. I'm gonna have a petition that we can start signing for Mark Jackson to at least get an interview with these teams with no coaches because he hasn't been given the opportunity since he left Golden State. We all see that what he did with Golden State. The following year when he left, they win a championship and become a dynasty. So basically, you're raising a child and they leave the house at 17 years old and they turn into a superstar and the parents are getting left behind and forgot about. He turned these niggas into who they are. And,
yeah.
And no disrespect to Steve Kerr, but, you know. He took over
in the playoffs.
What you mean?
Steve Kerr.
What you mean?
When he took over the team, it was in the playoffs.
I don't remember when it was.
Yeah.
But I just know for the point is, Mark Jackson needs an opportunity to at least get an interview with some of these teams because the candidates, let me tell you the three candidates that they're talking about that could possibly take Darvin Ham's job with the Lakers. First of all, the first candidate they said was Ty Lue. Ty Lue's a whole fucking coach for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, he's a whole fucking coach with somebody else. They asked Ty Lue, look, your name may be thrown in for the Lakers. Ty Lue said, I don't really know about that, but it always feels good for us to be wanted. The next candidate was Jason Kidd. He's in the second round of the playoffs. Like, yo, how is these two niggas the candidates for the Laker job when they are full coaches of other teams? And they like, their contract is up. It ain't like that Jason Kidd isn't still fucking coaching the Dallas Mavericks who's about to play the Oklahoma City Thunder. How are these people candidates? And the last candidate, J.J. Redick, the new podcast partner of LeBron James with no coaching experience.
Zero
coaching experience. So these are the three candidates that's thrown out there. Or, you know, it's not actual fact, but these are the names that's been thrown around. Jason Kidd, the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, Ty Lue, the head coach of the Clippers, and J.J. Redick, the podcast partner of LeBron James with zero coaching experience, but Mark Jackson can't get an interview? We're going to start a petition just for an interview. Just get him an interview. That's all I'm saying because when I heard these names, I thought it was ridiculous. Back to Darvin Ham.
I'm not mad at J.J. Redick. If J.J. Redick could be the coach, then I could be the consultant.
I'm not mad at anybody who could go get a check, but I'm saying if we...
Why are you laughing, Stat?
Nah, because you had to throw yourself in there.
I mean, if they're going with people who just know their stuff, you know? And people, and I'm actually giving them credit. I'm saying there's new people that know their stuff.
Steve Nash just came in with no experience. How'd that go? How'd that work out?
But you know what? The two people that they named, Tyronn Lue and Jason Kidd, these are two people that they were supposed to get the job before it was Ham.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they just doubled back and they like, the nigga coaching Dallas, where you want to be, Dallas or LA, nigga?
Yeah, and Dallas is niggas sleep on Dallas.
Dallas is a sexy city. They saying LA is the dream job. That's what they basically saying. The Los Angeles Lakers is a dream job. So if you could coach the Lakers, you would leave the Clippers to coach the Lakers. You would leave Dallas to coach the Lakers. Would you?
No.
You would?
No. just because it's quote unquote supposed to be the dream job, it may end up a nightmare for you. You guys, it's the dream job.
Yeah, LeBron's there. I'm not going there to coach.
It's the dream job to coach the Cowboys. Cowboys ain't won since 94.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get what you're saying. It's a historic franchise.
Yeah.
And to have this job would be amazing because it's stuff that as coaches, this is what you dream, or as kids to play for the Lakers or play for the Cowboys, that's like the dream job. But if it don't work out, it can also be a damn nightmare. It won't be a dream. It'll be not just a dream. It'll turn into a nightmare because look, let's think about it. Darwin Ham been there 2 years. He got 4 years contract. He's going to get paid 2 years for not even coaching. You know who's super dope? How to get them checks? Mike Brown. Mike Brown had got fired from Cleveland. So Cleveland still had to pay him. Went to the Lakers for a year. They fired him. So now Cleveland and Lakers was paying him. Then became an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors. So he's getting three checks at one time for three different teams. So if you're going to be there for a minute, and then you're going to be there and you're not, your job isn't secure, it could fuck your life up moving forward if you don't have a good reputation. Now, for instance, right? We're Darwin Ham. Would you want Darwin Ham right now? I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying you like, I don't know if I'm going to fuck with Darwin Ham right now. And we don't know what's going to happen this series with Minnesota and the Nuggets. But let's be for real. You lost to the champions last year. You went to the Western Conference Finals and lost to the niggas who took it. So I'm not mad at him for that. Then you lose this year to the niggas who won last year. And not only did you just lose, you lost on two buzzer beaters. So it wasn't like y'all got smacked every game. I don't really think it was called for Darwin Ham to get fired, but that's something between the players, the GM, Anthony Davis that threw him under the bus after a game 1 year. Maybe it was more going on, but if we're going purely off basketball, you lost to the niggas who took it. That's what I'm saying. It isn't like you lost to somebody who didn't win the championship. But this
when the Lakers lose, it's only going to be the Anthony Davis or the coach. They're not going to blame LeBron. So he had to go.
Yeah.
And then going back to it, I think the potential candidate that shocks people are kind of the most right now is JJ Redick, especially because they do have a podcast. So like, do you guys see that going south? Do you think that there's more of an upside? And do you see that as being fair if he is granted the head coach position?
I think once LeBron did the podcast with him and stamped him as a brilliant basketball mind, that him getting a job is almost like that was a part of them doing the podcast to me.
LeBron's still throwing his weight around, as he should. If if you could get away with shit, get away with shit. That's just the way it is, bro. And if you could, you could. Look, it's no way to me, and I'm not saying skill-wise or anything else. Anything else-wise, that his son should not be in the NBA next year. You're not going to sit here and tell me that Giannis' brother is in the NBA and my son can't get in the NBA. That's just that.
That's good.
That's just that, bro. Because at the end of the day, my son got him. Yeah. And we going to sit here and use Giannis' weight more. So Giannis got more pull than me? That's what y'all saying? Giannis, what's my nigga name?
Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy. Giannis. Yeah, Soulja Boy voice. Giannis. His brother got a spot. Get my son a spot.
And his mother got a deal.
Yeah. So at the end
of
the day, exactly. So we have to realize that this is LeBron James throwing his weight around, seeing other niggas do it, and the nigga said, I'm still here. Don't forget, nigga. Yeah. So I'm not knocking it.
Okay, well, in the comments, let us know who you guys think the Lakers should be looking at for head coach position. But that is all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is. What you
you want, nigga. Everything, nigga, super size. Two Big Macs. Like when they doing them 2 for 5.